Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And we'll begin today with the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev, the admitted Boston Marathon bomber. In federal court today, testimony moved to a more detailed examination of the physical evidence in the case.
That included photographs of a bullet hole through the headrest of the SUV hijacked by the Tsarnaev brothers. WBUR reporter Jack Lepiarz has been following the trial from federal court, and he joins us now. Hi there, Jack.
Hi, Meghna.
So what are you hearing at the moment as testimony continues?
Well, at the moment, we're actually in recess, but just before then, we were hearing from a woman named Jennifer Montgomery, who is a DNA analyst at the State Police Crime Lab. She was asked to look at a couple of gloves that were found on the floor of the green Honda Civic owned by Jahar Tsarnaev. Now, on the right glove, these are a pair of golf gloves, by the way, white golf gloves. There's some blood staining on the palm of the right glove. She took that blood, tested it, found that blood is a match for Sean Collier, the MIT police officer who was killed.
Mm. Now, there are a number of open questions about significant details regarding the Watertown shootout, specifically the bombs that the Tsarnaev brothers are said to have lobbed at police officers. What did we learn about that today?
Well, today we actually saw two of the bombs that the Tsarnaev brothers allegedly threw at police. Now, these are metal pipe bombs. I mean, essentially, if you look under your sink at home and look at the elbow pipe that drains from your sink, that's what we're talking about here. It's about 4 inches long, about 2 inches in diameter. And we had a state police bomb expert on the stand today explaining these essentially were screwed shut so that there were caps on either side of the pipe. The pipe's filled with black powder, and it's lined with BBs, either using an epoxy or glue. And then there's a hole, a tiny hole cut into the pipe where they stick in a fuse. You light the fuse, you throw it, and it essentially acts, as he put it, like an improvised hand grenade. Huh. And one other thing is it's curved like that so that it doesn't roll, so that you can throw it and it'll stay right where it lands.
Huh, interesting. Now, I'm seeing that there was also some Tupperware found in the Mercedes SUV that the brothers are said to have hijacked, that they drove to Watertown.
Yeah. There was another Tupperware with about 2 to 3 pounds worth of black powder in it in the SUV that was later found after the shootout. And inside it was 2 to 3 pounds of black powder and a whole mess of fuses. So it's unclear if this was actually a bomb or if this was maybe even just storage, just store the black powder there so that they can use it later, because plastic isn't quite as volatile as metal. With metal, the powder can rub up against the metal, it can create friction, and it can ignite even without you lighting the bomb itself. With Tupperware, plastic and powder, you don't have that same kind of friction material, so it's a little more stable.
Okay, interesting. So we're seeing all sorts of physical evidence here. Like you said, more information on how the pipe bombs were made, plastic Tupperware and the role that it might have played, blood samples. A fingerprint expert also testified today?
Yeah. Essentially, just going through all of the prints that were found at the scenes of the two cars. For the most part, pretty much what you would expect. You would expect to find both brothers' fingerprints on the SUV. You would expect Jahar's prints to be on the green Honda Civic that he owned. But one interesting thing, and this is what the defense seized on, was the wallet belonging to Tamerlan Tsarnaev in the back seat of the green Honda. And inside that wallet were a number of receipts. Receipts that essentially would, the defense is laying these out as pointing to him to have led at least the buying spree for the Boston Marathon bombing. Mm-hmm. March 30th, he goes to Home Depot and buys a soldering gun. April 11th, 4 days before the bombing, he goes up to New Hampshire to a gun store, buys some ammunition. One day before the bombing, he goes to Target and he buys 2 backpacks. Now, we don't know exactly that these were used for the Marathon bombing, but this is the line that the defense is trying to pursue to show that Tamerlan Tsarnaev is the brother who led the way on this. Tamerlan is the brother who influenced Jahar to get involved, that without Tamerlan Tsarnaev, there would not have been a Marathon bombing.
So briefly, Jack, am I to take that the defense is actually cross-examining these witnesses more aggressively than they have others? I mean, they didn't even cross-examine any of the victims, for example.
No. Yeah, they've been getting a lot more involved with the evidence portion of it. And we've heard from a lot of blood experts in the afternoon so far. And what they've been going after is, and it appears that they are going towards, was there any gun residue on the gloves that were found at the bottom of Jahar's car, and was there any gun residue on his sweatshirt? That's what they've been going for. They asked, you know, how many bloodstains were recovered from Jahar Tsarnaev's sweatshirt that he was wearing the night of the bombing? 10. How many of those did you test? We tested 8 of them. But we haven't gotten to the right witness where they can really cross-examine and get into it. But they're laying the groundwork to say, did you test this for gun residue? What was the result?
WBUR's Jack Lepiar is reporting to us on the Tsarnaev trial. Jack, thank you.
You're welcome.